My name is Vic. My pronouns are he, they, and I identify as a guy, but not a man, mostly just a faggot.
Incredible. Love this. And then what do you do outside of being a guy, but just a faggot?
So for money, most of the time, it could be literally anything, because I don't tend to stay at a job for more than 9 months because I get bored and I want to do something new. But like long term life, passion wise, is theater work. I write plays, I act, I direct, and I also want to get into fictionalized podcasts. And I have a bunch of ideas that I just need to actually get writing for those.
So obviously this interview series is about girlhood and queerness, and I know experiencing girlhood is different for everyone, and like what that looks like is different, especially as we grow and our identities change. So I'm really curious, like for you, when you experience girlhood, whatever that means for you, what was your relationship like to like masculinity and femininity? What did those things mean to you?
Like as a kid,
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I took masculinity very seriously as a child, and I kind of still don't, but like when I was growing up, I never really had any problems like with girlhood. I never like didn't want to be a girl, but I wanted to be a girl in a way that like the boys would also hang out with. Like, 'cause I feel like if I had like been raised as a boy, I would have had a much worse time. But like I was always in dresses. I was always in heels. Like I wanted to be high femme all the time. My main shoe of choice as a child was like knee-high black boots with little heels. Like always from the time I was like 6 until I think I was probably 14. That was my main shoe. Even after that, actually, because I had a pair in college. But I really loved feminine things, and I loved like kitschy, campy clothes, and like I really liked a lot of girly stuff. But at the same time, I would only play on the boys' kickball team, and like in elementary school, most of my friends, well, up until like the fourth grade, most of my friends were boys, and I sat with them at the lunch table, and I was just like, yeah, I'm hanging out with them. I don't want to hang out with the girls, but I am also in like a layered peasant skirt and like a little glittery t-shirt right
Incredible. I'm obsessed with that.
now. But yeah, like I didn't ever really see, I guess like when you're kids, like masculinity and femininity are so much closer to each other than people want them to be, really. So like I don't know, when I saw boys like being like really, boy, I was like, you guys look kind of silly and like this is kind of stupid. It just didn't seem, I don't know, it always seemed just not real, if that makes sense. Like it never seemed like something that was like tangible or important, really. So yeah.
Yeah, I love that. That is a really, really interesting answer. And as like a follow-up to that, because I know you're a little theater baby. So like working in theater, I don't know when you started doing theater stuff. But when you entered the theater space and you kind of I feel like when you enter acting, you interact with gender in a very unique, different way. And especially like throughout transitioning, that is going to change drastically and give you access to different thoughts about gender and like how it functions, especially as a performance. So like, what does that look like for you?
So I started doing theater stuff really early. I was only probably 4 when I started doing theater. I remember the first show I did was Peter Pan, and I was Wendy, and I was very excited about it because I loved her. But so going like as I got older and I started doing like more serious theater work, so I had a hard time. There were a lot of characters that I felt like should not be not accessible to me, because I feel like a lot of the time in plays, especially plays that come either before the 1920s and after the 1990s, the gender of the characters that you're playing don't come into play that much. Like when you're doing like Golden Age theater, it's way more obvious and way more important to the story that this character's a man and this character's a woman. And I really don't like Golden Age theater. But the plays before that and a lot of the plays after, like the characters are just characters. And I was never really into the idea of like what teachers were trying to cast me as in school, because I looked very different than the way that I wanted to be on stage. So like the characters that I wanted to play were always like breeches roles in Shakespeare, like the girls that dress up as boys, who would have been played by boys dressed up as girls. And like just characters that were way more story driven than gender driven. And that wasn't how anybody wanted to like cast me. Like for classical roles, they all wanted me to be ingenue. And I was like, that is not who I am, actually. I want to be the quippy drunk guy. Like I had no interest in playing those kinds of roles. But like as a kid, like that didn't bother me. Like in girlhood, that didn't really bother me at all. Because so like the way that I always explain it is, like I said, I had no problem being a girl. I just didn't want to be a woman. Like that, the shift to me was like completely incomprehensible. So as I got older and as I tried navigating the theater world, I was like, I don't want to play women, actually, like at all. Not in any way, shape, or form. But then there were some like really high femme characters that were just drama more than woman. Like my favorite is Elvira from Blithe Spirit, because she is just so over the top. And like the characters basically that were written by gay men as stand-ins for them, I'm like, those women I can play. But like regular housewife women who like love their kids and, have trouble with their husband because he isn't home enough, like that, I'm like, I have no interest in this.
Yeah, I love that. Speaking of Shakespeare and pants rolls, I know you got your master's
I
in
did.
Mr. Shakespeare. Do you have anything to?
There was a focus on him, yeah.
Yeah. What did that look like for you? Because I know, were you out yet when you were in your master's?
So I was out. And I did get some leeway as far as like the roles that I was cast in my master's. But so when I only really did one Shakespeare show in school. We did part of, oh my goodness, which show was it? As You Like It. Yeah, we did As You Like It. And I played Celia for that. And they gave me a lot of like wiggle room as far as what I could do, because she isn't the breeches role in that show. She's like the cousin of the breeches role who's like, I think you're going a little over the top. But they didn't really like, they didn't want to heighten the gender differences between those characters, so to speak. Like they were like, okay, we're more interested on this being a family dynamic than it being like, oh my God, this one's cross-dressing. You have to tell her to be a girl. Like that wasn't, it was way more, hey, can you not try to get married in a week than trying to like highlight the like gender nonconformity there. Throughout the rest of my time at RCS, I did play men and women in shows. And there was one character that was kind of ambiguous, but not like canonically. That was good. And it definitely was a fun space to explore. And I think it did help me really realize that I was like, there's a lot of these women roles that I don't want. And there's a lot more male roles that I want to take that, like, the way I look right now, I'm not going to get.
Yeah, I get that. That's super interesting. Because also that brings me to your show that I got to see in Indy, which I love. Can you give like a little synopsis for the folks who obviously have not seen it or read it?
Yeah. So the show that I wrote and put up in Indie Fringe that Nat got to come see was called Transitory State. And basically one day I was like looking through TV tropes and I was like, reading the Bury Your Gaze one, and I was like, I hate that actually. And I am super into ghosts and like supernatural stories. So I was like, you know what? I want to write a show where the dead gay comes back, actually. So the story is about three friends. One of them, Riley, has passed away in a car accident, and his two surviving friends have like sort of drifted apart. They've had their relationship strain. And they, on the 1 year anniversary of his death, do a little seance. And then he manages to manifest to one of them, to Hudson. And then it's a story of Hudson basically trying to convince B that, their friend is back and they can talk to him again. And it's basically, it's a friendship story, really, more than anything else. But all of my characters are trans, and I feel like it was a story that gave kind of a little glimpse into what trans lives are outside of tragedy. Because even though one of them has died, like they weren't murdered and they didn't like, take their own life. So it was just about them interacting with each other, and like they had all come to be themselves with each other. So it was, yeah, about, trying to navigate life with other trans people and how you get to be your most authentic in a community.
Yeah, I love that show. It's so good. And something that like came up for me when I was thinking about like interviewing you, and I was like, I want to talk to Vic. Like what kind of things can I ask him about? Something that I remembered about it was that when Riley died, his parents were still not on board, and part of him coming back was not reconnecting with them. And kind of like a death of who he used to be to people who did not accept him as he was. And that was so interesting to me. And I wonder if you can talk about like, is that something you relate to, or just stories you saw from other people? Like kind of where does that come into your story?
So the not connecting part, like not reconnecting with his family. Not making any attempt to get back into contact with them comes from like my family's pretty dysfunctional. I am no longer in contact with my mother, and I don't ever see a reason to try to get back in contact with her. Totally unrelated to trans stuff.
Yeah, no, you're good.
But I have always been a very strong proponent of like the importance of found family. And like the family that you're born into not being nearly as important as people want it to be, or like make it out to be, because those are people that you know by chance, So the people that you choose to surround yourself, I think, are equally, if not more important than that. So that was what it was for Riley. Riley had no connection with his birth family, so he didn't go back to them. And this the like death of who he was, that's not super like related to me, because I don't ever feel like I never felt wrong. So that wasn't really what I was going for. What I was more aiming for with that was socially a lot like an issue that a lot of people, trans people, have with their parents, is that their parents mourn somebody who really never existed. And they focus a lot on like the body of that person. So like the main plot point that we had in the show was that Hudson and Riley were afraid that Riley wouldn't be able to show up anymore because his parents wanted to move the body to be closer to them, because they had left the state. They moved out. And they were like, actually, now we want this body to come with us. So they were afraid that he wouldn't be able to show up anymore. And like that's something that is a reality for a lot of trans people, is that their family and those close to them like can't get past like, oh my God, what are you doing to your body? Oh my God, oh my little girl, my little boy, how could you do this? And it's like, you are completely focusing on the wrong things here, because the spirit of that person is one, not any different, and still going to be there. So you're mourning over nothing. So that was why I had included that in the show.
I love that. That is so lovely. And I want to go back to something you said, which is that you said you never felt wrong, or like you don't feel like that person who you were died, yeah. Which is so interesting, because I know when I was doing research for this, there were a couple, like especially trans mass people, who were like, I hate girlhood, I hate that girl, I don't know who she is. And I know so many people who feel completely differently, of like, you know, like I do know that little girl, and she was what she was, and now she's me. And do you want to speak to that a little bit?
I think like there were a lot of things that kind of delayed my medical transition, delayed me like trying to breach the world of trans masculinity. And I think that like the hating yourself narrative was such a huge part of it, because I was like, I don't hate how I look, I don't hate my body, I don't hate the way that I was raised, I just don't want the next step of it. Like this isn't the timeline that I want. Like I don't think that I would be happy existing any other way. I think if I had been born like and raised as a boy, like a little cis boy, I would have had a fucking terrible time, because I feel like I would have been so much more restricted in how I could express myself. And what I would have been allowed to do. Like, because as a kid, like my parents were fine with me doing contact sports. They were fine with me being in martial arts. Like they wanted me to be able to protect myself. But at the same time, I could also be figure skating, and I could paint my nails, and I could, you know, wear dresses and my little my little crop tops that I should have been wearing at like 5 years old, but I wanted them because I wanted to be high femme, and I wanted to be kitsch, and I wanted to be camp.
I love it.
And it's like that wouldn't have been granted to me if I was a little boy. This build that I have now, this is what I want. I cannot imagine having any other, you know, build. And like genuinely, I get really emotional sometimes thinking about the girl that I grew up being, because like she had some stuff to figure out, but she was trying real hard. And I in the last couple of years have come to like really cherish my inner child and like try to nurture her and then, you know, also do right by the much more ambiguous, confused teen. there's a singer, his name is Ezra something. Oh, it's either Ezra Michael. And he's got a song out that's called Girl Baby, and every single time I listen to that song I cry, because like part of the chorus is girl baby means so much to me, and I was just like, oh my God. And like all he has a bunch of other trans masculine people in the music video and everything, and I'm like, yeah, that girl baby does mean so much to me, because like she got me through some shit, and she gave me a world that like I said I would not have had otherwise. And like I feel like that girlhood is so much a part of like queer men's spaces and like gay men's spaces, because I feel like a lot of them describe feeling like they were denied what is typically described as girlhood, you know, getting to play with dolls, getting to play with makeup, getting to, you know, have more freedom in how they dress and like wear pretty things and, you know, watch the pop divas and stuff like that. That's girlhood. All the stuff that they're describing is girlhood, and I'm glad that I got to experience that.
So something I've been thinking about a lot is there's a paper I read, and kind of the lead question to the paper, it was, do queer girls get to be girls? Do they get to be like little girls? Do they get to interact with the same milestones as quote unquote regular girls, straight girls? Mm-hmm. And the article never really answers the question, which is why I'm here. It's because I'm kind of chasing that thread of like, yeah, what does that mean to be a girl and be queer? Because something I remember a lot from girlhood that kind of forced forced me out and was like the thing that made me uncomfortable was its connection to being attracted to men, and the centrality that men had to your identity as a girl. But also that didn't become super serious. Like, it was always kind of a thing, but it was kind of like more joking when you were little, you know, where it'd be like, oh, you're playing wedding, where you're like, yeah, I'm five. Like, I don't know what that means. Until you're like older, and then they're like, okay, are you gonna start dating boys? And you're like, ew, why would I do that? But for you, like, you're still attracted to men, which is crazy. Good for you, babe.
Less and less, but
don't tell your man that.
We're the same. We're both non-binary little
guys. I know, you're both little guys. So can you like talk about like, because you said you connected with girl and you didn't connect with woman, which is something I've heard quite a bit of from like AFAB genderqueer people. Is kind of like that disconnect entered when they were faced with womanhood. And kind of like what that means for you and what the difference is to you between girl and woman. Like, what is that line? Because it's a really weird line and everyone describes it differently.
So as far as attraction goes, like, I did struggle with my attraction to boys in a weird way because I started being interested in boys very young. Like, age five, I was like, that is my boyfriend. I kiss him every day at kindergarten. And then as I got a little bit older, I was 8 or 9, I would have like 2 or 3 different boys, and I was like, none of you are my boyfriend, but if you want to kiss, that's fine. And then as I got a little bit older, you know, like, you know, 10, 11, 12, you know, the tweens, that stopped being reciprocal, and the guys that I was interested in were not interested in me. And I was like, well, the way that I put it was they were interested in like girl girls, and I like wasn't a girl girl. And I started to stop feeling like the way I was interested in boys was the same as girls around me. It didn't, it just didn't line up. And it also was weird because I am bi, and like I didn't really recognize that what I was feeling as attraction to girls was attraction to girls, because it was, I don't know, you're just expected to be closer to your girlfriends than you are to your boyfriends. But like, there were definitely girlfriends, and I was like, oh, every time I greet them, I want to give them a kiss on the cheek. And oh, huh, what if we play wrestled though? Teehee. Like,
real.
I realized that, like, so there were at least 3 different like friendships that I had with girls, and I was like, oh no, that was a crush. Like, you had a crush on that. You didn't realize you had a crush on her, but you did. And it literally wasn't something that even like had crossed my mind until I was like 17, maybe 18. And honestly, regretfully, it was because of Glee that I started realizing that. So I was for a while, I was caught in a weird space of being like, I don't know, like, I kind of only want to be hanging out with like bi guys, but I also kind of would also like to hook up with girls, and like, I don't know, I don't think that I want to be a man, but I also don't want to be a woman, and I don't know if the people that I'm interested would like that either way, because like girls that like girls, I don't know if they'd want like, you know, like somebody who feels like they're kind of more a drag queen than anything else. Like, you know, it was a weird space for a while, but I feel like that really stopped mattering once I found a like a trans community when I moved to Glasgow. Like, every person that I made friends with outside of school was trans, and they're all queer. And that kind of, the kind of just, it, you know, shrug as far as like who you are and what you're attracted to started being more prevalent. Just everybody just being like, I don't know, man, I'm hot and I like hot people. Like, yeah, that works. So that was kind of my TLDR attraction journey.
I love it.
And then as far as like what the line was for woman, I definitely feel like that started at like right before graduating high school, basically, when people were like, okay, you're going out into the world now. You're going to college. You're gonna go start living on your own. And that was when I started dating. Like, I didn't date at all in high school or middle school. It started when I went to college. I went to school in Manhattan for my first, technically 2 years, but it was like 14 months. And once I started, like, going on dating apps and like going on dates and stuff, and I found myself trying to be what I thought that the guys I was talking to would want. And like, I was in a theater school and I was, doing really gendered roles. And like, the school that I went to was pretty rigid as far as like what they wanted. Not just in terms of casting, but like everything. Like, they were very, very hard on everybody neutralizing their accents. Regardless of where you were from, you had to have a neutral accent because that's what books the most, They were very strict on attendance. Everything was very rigid. So that was where I think I started to get the most uncomfortable with the idea of existing in the world of a woman. So I was like, I don't like any of this. And I actually don't like how these men are talking to me. And they're not actually the kinds of men that I want to be talking to anyway, because I want to be talking to the little bear cubs, actually. That's what I want. But they're not interested. So what do I do here? Yeah. And
Oh, man.
just realizing like how uncomfortable I was in those spaces, in like the really rigid spaces. And then leaving it, I was like, oh, okay, no, I have options actually. And like, I went to LA and it was a little bit looser over there as far as everything goes. It actually annoyed me a little bit. I was like, can we have a little bit of focus in this class, please? But once I got out there and started, that was where I kind of started dipping into more like androgynous clothing. And there was more queer people in the school there. Like, the school ratio from one campus to the other, very, very different. New York was very straight. LA, most of the classmates were queer. And I was like, oh yeah, that's fantastic, actually. Then I started, having more queer friends. And I was like, oh, okay, kind of figuring out where I want to be. And then, like I said before, like being in and seeing an active trans community really helped me like figure out what I wanted. And I think just online as well, the idea of what you can and cannot do as far as being trans shifted a lot. And more trans masc people were like, no, I am not a man. Definitely not a woman, but I'm not a man, but I am gay and I am going to wear glittery eyeshadow and I am going to wear a little crop top. And yes, you're going to see my top surgery scars. And yes, you're going to see the bottoms of my butt cheeks. It's fantastic. I'm a brat doll, but a boy. It's great. And I was like, yeah, that's what I want, actually. So the line for woman really was like when I started entering the adult world, living on my own, trying to start looking for work, things like that. Then I was like, I don't like this sphere.
I think about this a lot and I've been reading a lot about it a lot. Reading a lot about it a lot. Wow. Is romantic friendships and girlhood. And like the way that I, so for me, and then obviously you take this wherever you want, but for me, the way I wanted to interact with girls when I got to an age where romantic friendships were no longer acceptable, or when other people started to say, that's a little queer. And I went, whoa, 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 whoa. No. Like when those romantic friendships stopped being okay or normal or natural really freaked me out. And it's when I started to feel abnormal. And kind of the way girls are allowed to navigate friendship until they hit a certain age was so queer. Is so inherently queer. And I feel like there's a lot of things about girlhood and the way unsupervised, weird girls navigate the world is so queer and so unique. And I wonder if you have any like stories or thoughts or things around that that you would like to share.
So I had a friend in middle school, who moved away after middle school. So like sixth, seventh, eighth grade, we went to school together. For high school, she moved to Tennessee. I did not realize that I was in love with this girl. Like, I wanted to go over to her house every moment that I could. I wanted her to come over to my house. I wanted to have sleepovers. Like, we were very touchy, always hugging. You know, we did cheek kisses and all that. I was on the phone with her every single day for hours and hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. And then when she moved, we would still try to call as often as possible and like keep in touch really, really strongly. And then at a certain point, it kind of fizzled out. It partially, I think, because she got very into Christianity.
Yeah, it'll
but
get you.
yeah, like I was obsessed with this girl. Like I was fully in love with her, and I didn't realize it. and I don't think I actually realized that until I was like 23, and like we were middle school friends, and I went, oh, that's what that was. And then I think that was the only one that really sticks out as like one that ended, because honestly, most of my friends ended up queer anyway, and if they're not queer, they're autistic. And the way we already know that the way that not neurodiverse people interact with each other is very different. So I feel like a lot of those romantic friendships just ended up being really like strong long-term friendships. And like maybe like nothing ever romantically developed, but like these people are still my family, you know? So I got to keep those strong feelings about them because we ended up unintentionally like on really similar paths. Because I don't think that I so really I've been very fortunate as far as like not encountering bullying for gender or sexuality, and I haven't really been in a lot of hostile spaces. So I don't really have like I think a lot of the same baggage that a lot of queer people have, because I was always involved in theater, so like there were always gay people around, even if it wasn't necessarily like in my school. Like I went to musical theater summer camp for 7 years in a row. I do not like musicals, but I kept going. And I was like, oh, it's because there's gay people there. And like and like I said, like the friends that I have, we ended up all being some flavor of queer. So I just never really had like I haven't really had negative experiences, which I'm very fortunate. I know that. So I never really had like as strong a feeling of feeling othered as a lot of other queer people do. Because the people that I was around were all kind of doing the same thing. Like I distinctly remember one day in gym class, it was right after Lady Gaga's 2011 VMA performance where she came out as Joe Calderone. And we all were talking about it. It was me and two of my friends. We were talking about it and we went, so like that was kind of hot, right? And then we were like, oh my God, yes, thank you. So like, you know, we were all having the same experiences and we didn't really talk to people outside of our group. So we didn't really have, you know, issues with it. I forgot what the main point was here, but yeah, I know that I haven't had those feelings of being othered as strongly as other people have. So I know in a way I feel like I got to explore a little bit more, even though I was late coming to the party and like realizing things, there was definitely a lot of stuff that I feel like if I had known earlier and if I had been more pressured into not being these things, that I wouldn't have been able to do. I would just say that for anybody, I feel like for anybody who maybe is feeling completely disconnected from their girlhood, like revisit it. Look at the stuff that you were like granted in those spaces, because a lot of it, like especially like emotional intelligence and like being able to cry, things like that, like being allowed to cry, like those are valuable. Those are really valuable. And even if that girl like didn't grow up into a woman. Like she was still there. And it, I don't think that girlhood in any form is something that anybody should really be ashamed of. Like, even if you feel like it prevented you from being who you were, I don't think that that was girlhood's fault necessarily. You know, I that's a lot of external stuff. But like getting to be a little girl and getting to experience a lot of the stuff, like definitely there is definitely trauma that comes with girlhood, but there's trauma that comes with boyhood too, because we're living in a fucked up traumatic society. So like the high points of the of girlhood, I think are worth revisiting. And I think they're worth thinking about and maybe celebrating even a little bit, because a lot of what we're taught is that so much of girlhood is shameful and like, you know, something to be embarrassed about. I'm like, no, it is what it is. Everything just kind of is. So I think to get to look for positives in it and to like internalize the things that were good about it is really important.
I do have
Wow,
one follow-up question, and it'll be my last question because I can't believe I didn't think to ask this. Because you did girlhood and you're doing boyhood, at least a little
definitely.
bit.
I would say yes, definitely boyhood, because I don't think people see me as a man. They
I
say
yeah, I know.
that is
I have a lot of men who get like really defensive, where I'm like, but you're not really like a man, like you're just a guy. But I think that's something you embrace. You're like, yeah, I'm just kind of a little guy. I'm just kind of here.
I'm 5'3". My mustache will
Oh
probably never look any darker than it is right now. And if I wear a backpack, I could very easily pass for 17. It's fine.
So, like, what have you noticed about boyhood that has brought you that is like different or similar to girlhood? And how do you navigate boyhood having also experienced girlhood?
So something that's come up fairly recently, actually. So I was the last job I had was in a Barnes and Noble cafe, and a lot
Incredible.
of the employees there were girls, like or women. Some of them were girls, you know, like 19, 20,
Yeah.
and some were young women. And like there, every now and then, when they would be having like a chat amongst themselves, and like I would join in with it, like it didn't feel like I was understood the same way that I used to be. And I was like, no, but babes, I know exactly what you're talking about. Like, no, in this instance, I am still one of the girls. Like, we're having a little girl talk right now. Just because I have like this shitty little chin strap doesn't mean that I do not understand having an IUD. I do. It went through my uterus. So like that is something that I don't actually like, is now talking to women who either don't know that I'm trans or like don't really have like trans mask people in their life. When I talk to them and like am relating to experiences, like there's a disconnect. And I'm like, I don't like that actually. I no. 'Cause in my head, I definitely see myself way less masculine than I think people are reading me. Well, then women are reading me, at least. I don't think men read me as masculine. And that's just been a weird thing to like work with recently, because it's new. It's still very new, and it's I don't really know what to do with it.
Yeah, I mean,
So
you're kind of in the midst of your boyhood right now.
yeah,
Like, we.
like you know, 80s. Like any 80s comedy, there's the best friend guy character who wears the really loud Hawaiian shirts and like has one-liners and no actual plot relevance.
Yes.
That's where I feel like I'm at.
That was the most. Thank you so much for talking to me, my sweet Vic.